Today we are continuing episode 3 of a 4-part series, Unoffendable. And I don't know if this is your first time. I get a little bit excited when I talk about the things of God, and when I we call it preaching sometimes. And so don't mind me if you get, you know, if it gets too loud, just step out for a moment and rest your ears and come on back and see what Jesus has to say tonight. Is that okay, friends? Oh man, part 3 of a 4-part series, Unoffendable. That's our first slide there for you. This is a teaching series that is designed to help you see how easy it is to be drawn into offense. How many have been drawn into offense this week alone? You don't have to put your hands up, but I'm going to put mine up, because I tell you, I've already been tempted to be offended and to drink the poison this week more than once. Why? Because we're talking about it, right? The enemy's like, oh, I'm going to get you, Chris, right? That's how it works. But we're learning about, you know, how to, we don't often realize the negative impact that offense has on us. And we don't often realize the consequences that it has on our lives, and not just our lives, but on the lives of those that we're surrounded by, those that are planted in our circles of influence. See, everyone feels offended at one point or another in our life. I could be so bold again, like I said last week, that every one of us has been offended this week. Maybe even some of you today have been offended or have experienced offense. Someone didn't give you the eye contact that you were looking for. The Tim Hortons coffee was a bit cold. Someone didn't high-five you on the way to church or in the church parking lot. You felt offended, right? I can't believe they just snubbed me. We've been offended, and it's okay. We all are, it's unavoidable, friends. We're going to be offended. Everyone feels offended at one point or another. The problem with living offended is that it doesn't hurt someone else. It's actually hurting us. It hurts you, and yet there are ways to not hold on to that offense that we so often want to cling on to. And we, as we say it around here, there's a choice that we can make. We can actually choose to live our lives undeterred by offense, undistracted, unstopped. Doesn't matter what, no obstacles, no rivers, no walls, nothing can stop me because I'm undeterred by offense. And that is what I believe each of us can walk away learning in this over this series is over the next few weeks. And here's a theme scripture that I want to bring your attention to in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If you have your Bibles with you, if you don't, use your phone, or we'll have it up on the screen for some of you as well if you want to look at that. I'm reading from the Message paraphrase tonight just for an example's sake, and I want to bring it to your attention. Here's the theme. It says, with promises like this to pull on, so he's talking about the scripture, the chapter before, we were talking about the promises of God, and we'll look more about that at that at another time, but it says this, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. And he says, let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for what? For the worship of a good God. So he's saying, make a clean break, friends, with everything. Break it away, break it off, get away from it. Anything that's defiling you, your thoughts, your behaviors, your lifestyle, your passions and motivations, what's distracting you, the chaos, money, sex, identity, whatever it is that's distracting you as well, break away from it. Not that those aren't some good things, but if it's distracting you and defiling you both within and without, let's make our entire lives fit as holy temples for the worship of God. And if you'd like a slogan for this series, here's something that you might want to throw on a t-shirt if you want. It's just simply, don't drink the poison, friends. Don't drink the poison. If you missed last week, I highly encourage you to take it in on one of our media platforms. It will, I believe it'll feed you, it'll nourish you, it'll encourage you. It'll actually poke some holes in some of your thoughts and processes and belief systems. And I think that's okay every once in a while, isn't it? I truly believe it'll help you. Now, the chances are that everyone in this room is living offended in some area of our life today still. And the reason I believe that it's important to say this and say that is that if I don't, you'll just assume that this message is not for you, for someone else, when it's actually for you. Say, it's actually for me tonight. Does anyone believe that this word's for you tonight? I truly believe it's for me too, friends. Hey, just because I get to get up here and speak in front of you doesn't mean I've got it all figured out. I'll be the first one to say, I don't. And I want to learn from the Holy Spirit tonight, because I've got some offenses on my nightstand that I want God to heal me in and bring some freedom in. So here, let's talk about, maybe you're, let's see what we want to talk about first here. The chances that we're living offended. Because you are living offended in some areas of your life, chances are that it's having a negative effect on you, right? So I brought the poison for you. I'm going to pour us a big old glass of offense here. And because you are living offended, it's a really good chance it's having a negative effect on your life. It's having a negative effect on your marriage. It's having a negative effect on your relationships, on your job, on those around you. You have a big old glass of offense that needs to be addressed. Maybe as a woman, let me give you some examples tonight. I want to talk through a few of them. And I want you just got to open my heart. I want to hear what you have to say tonight. Maybe as a woman, you might be living with offense towards men. For example, maybe you've been hurt, you've been mistreated, you've been undervalued and devalued. Someone served you up a big old glass of offense. Something that wasn't right was said to you or done to you or behaved towards you, was abusive. Maybe you were mistreated by a male or more than one in your past. And now it's becoming generalized for you, and you're living with an offense towards men, maybe. It's just an example. Maybe it was your parents who belittled you, kept you out of sight and said things like, I expected better from you, actually. I can't believe that you were that fill in the blanks. Maybe you were harshly corrected when you didn't quite do something the way that mom or dad would have done it or expected you to do it. You were served up a big old glass of offense. It wasn't right. It was actually wrong of them to treat you as so little in your life. As an inconvenience, right? Maybe it was a teacher or a grandparent or a combination of these in your life. And now it's generalized for you. And now you might be living with an offense towards people of authority or people in leadership in your life. You might have an issue with anyone who might be over you. Because we've been served up a big old glass of offense. You have the right to be offended. You have the right to feel offended. But you have a choice. Do I drink this poison and let the toxins pollute my body both in and without? Or what do I do with this, God? Maybe you have an employee, if you're a business owner, who is offended towards the organization that you work so hard to start and live out your life building and growing. Who continually brings toxic presence to every work meeting and every shift that they work beside you in. Maybe you are here and you are a follower of Jesus who is carrying an offense towards the church. You've been hurt by someone and let down by someone in church and didn't get recognized for, didn't make the cut at the audition for, or feeling rejected, friends, and overlooked. Every one of us has had this experience in our life. The problem with this one is that you and I were intelligently designed and created to be in family, to exist and to live in community. God puts us all into the church, into his body as lively stones fitted together as a temple built and fitted together for the purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful his design. The church is God's idea, right? So when we are offended at the church, what we do is we will be distant to the church. Or to your relationships, or to your boss, or to your parents, or to your children, or to your spouse. You might say things like this if you're offended by the church is global and I don't belong to any one local church. I like to keep my options open, per se. Sounds like dating almost, right? I have a couple favorite teachers on YouTube, and that's great you do, that I tune in into Sundays instead. And what you do is you build barriers between yourself and God's church, God's design, his local church, where he's planted you for a reason, for a purpose, for a belonging. And because I'm distant from being engaged in the local church and in his assembling of the lively stones that I've been planted to be, God's plans for my life can never fully be realized or understood because we carry an offense towards his church. Maybe you might be living an offense towards people who are a different race, a different ethnicity than you. You could be offended by people who have more disposable income than you, more money than you do. And it might spill out of you when you're around others that have a bit more stuff than you. Like you might have something to say about it. A remark, a comment like, all rich people be like. Right? I can't believe you can be a Christian and still drive that car. Doesn't it bother you to see others who are less fortunate than you and you're still doing? Slide 4. The problem with living offended is that it's not hurting them, friends. It's hurting you. And I trust that God wants to do some healing in our household, healing in our family, healing in our lives. They don't suffer loss. You do. You are suffering the loss. So often we think drinking the poison is going to hurt someone else. They don't get stuck in bitterness, friends. You do. They don't get imprisoned by contempt. You do. Are you hearing me tonight? We're the ones that hurt when we're offended. The psalmist in Psalm 73, that's in slide 5 for us, experienced feelings of offense. The psalmist put it this way. This is Psalm 73 and 21. We'll have it on the screen for you as well. It says the psalmist puts after realizing what offense was doing to his heart, and maybe you are there tonight or have been there tonight. He says this, he's talking to God, he's praying, and some of you I know are praying maybe some similar prayers. He says, then I realized that my heart was bitter. That was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. My heart was bitter and I'm all torn up on the inside of my life. I've been so foolish. See, the other person isn't trapped by living with your envy, with your anger, with your frustration, or with your jealousy. No, it's all yours, baby. All yours. They moved on with their lives already. They may not even realize that they even offended you, that you are still carrying the fence, still irritated. It's not hurting other people, friends. It's hurting you and I. So I appeal to you in this series, and I pray that it will carry with you beyond these next few weeks, that God, we will see some supernatural releases from these toxic cups of poison that sometimes we just be guzzling back and thinking that we're going to solve the issue by, you know, whatever, drinking it, but it's not working. It's hurting us. And I truly believe that God wants to say, listen, friends, there's a different way I have for you. And it is a way of healing. It's a way of health. Don't drink the poison. Don't drink the poison. And if you've already drank the poison, thank God there's some hope still. Thankfully, we are not done with this series yet, and that we're going to help you with a detox. We're going to do a little spiritual rehab. Is that okay? Thank you, Jesus. We can do some detox. Come on, friends. God can set you free. Are you willing to be set free from your offenses this week? You can walk in the freedom that you were designed to walk in, to live in. You can make the choice, friends, and God will make the change in your life. You can make the choice, and God will make the change. You might be surprised, actually, in the next few weeks, in the liberating power that still exists for you and I today, that you can still experience today, for those who believe and are willing to receive, for those who are willing to make the choice to tap into it and open up and say, pour it on into me, Jesus, that healing and that freedom and your Holy Spirit that gives life and life everlasting. You will be amazed, friends, in the transforming power of Christ in you if you will believe and be open to receive all that he has for you. Like, if you never made the choices, never made the decisions that lead to your liberty and freedom from something that is spiritual in nature, by the end of this series, I hope and I pray that you will experience this profound power that we're talking about in the Holy Spirit, the power of God to liberate your soul and set people free who have been captive and maybe who have been in prison for just a little while and who have been under the domain of the pressures and power of an offense in our lives. See, we've been chasing the devil all week, but there's probably just a choice for you to make to not drink the poison and let God do the change in your life. Thank you, Jesus, to experience being set free and free indeed from those circumstances. I trust that we'll be amazed. Somebody say freedom. Freedom, Lord. Maybe you need a couple hints tonight. So let's go there for a moment. I'm going to crawl up into your living room tonight. Is that okay? A couple hints that might say, Pastor Chris, how do I know if I'm living with offense? So here's a couple clues, a couple hints that maybe you'll recognize and maybe the Lord will stir your hearts. If you are overly sensitive, that just might be a clue. If you are hypercritical, let's just say critical. If you are critical, there's a good chance you might be walking in offense. That's a clue. If you have a history of bad relationships, it could be a clue. If you struggle to stay on the same consistent path in your faith and experiences, That might be a clue. If you consistently see other people as the problem, it's probably a clue, right? You just might want to call the poison hotline tonight. I need heaven's help to get free tonight, Jesus. So today I want to bring this to the table, one of the most toxic forms of offense, and that is unfulfilled expectations, friends. And I know we talked a little bit about this in brief form in our relationship series, which I love being able to walk through with you, but I want to show you today how this toxin of unfulfilled expectations, this poison, is one of the most commonly experienced forms of offense. So let's talk about it. Matthew chapter 11. John the Baptist is in prison, not a great place to be in this time period when this scripture was written and penned. Obviously, prisons today are a little bit different. We still get mac and cheese and a prison to work out in, or a weight center to work out in, and who knows what, basketball hoops. This isn't the kind of prison that John the Baptist was in. And in verse 2, and by the way, John the Baptist is in prison for teaching and preaching about the way of Jesus. He wasn't in prison for beating his wife or drunk driving or anything like that. He was in prison specifically for preaching and teaching the way of Jesus. Matthew 11, let's read it. Chapter 11, verse 2. When John, this is slide 6, had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, to Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Next slide. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Verse 6, "But tell John this for me, blessed is he who is not offended because of me." See, Jesus is saying to John, through his messengers that John sent to Jesus, he said, "Hey, I want you to go back and tell John these things that I've been doing, but I also want you to tell John, blessed is he who is not offended because of me, because of something that I am doing or not doing that maybe seems unfair or inconsiderate to him." One might think, here I am, I'm like John the Baptist some days, who has done so much for Jesus. I mean, like, I even ate locust and honey and bologna sandwiches for an entire year, Jesus. I even sacrificed my own well-being and had to buy my groceries at low-cost foods, shopped at the local thrift store, and wore my uncle's hand-me-down skins and hides. I was so busy proclaiming the good news of the coming king, busy about doing the work of the Lord, fearlessly preaching to the crowds, even Jesus on Facebook, that Jesus is the one, and I used and leveraged my own influence towards those who followed me to follow you, even Jesus, to point them towards you, sitting here in a dark, dirty, dank dungeon. Jesus is in town, friends, having a great time, healing the sick, raising the dead, maybe even in the spotlight a little bit, right? And here's John peering through the bars. "Come on, Jesus. What the are you doing? I'm over here. You just have to speak the word. Don't even bother coming over. I know you're busy. You got this. Just speak the word and set me free, bro." It might be safe to assume that, like, if any one of us were sitting in that prison, in that dungeon, I'd be like, "Hello, Jesus, remember me? Can you at least get me out of this situation that I'm in? I'm in it because I follow you, by the way. Good chance I'm going to die in here." We got to use a little emotional manipulation sometimes, right, too, when we want to really get it in there. "Come on, I'm going to die back here, Lord. If you don't come and rescue me, if you don't come and set me free, like, Jesus, you could really just get me out of this situation, right?" I don't know about you, but when I was writing for this sermon, it felt a little bit like some of the things that I've said to Jesus in my life. I've been a little offended at the things God has done in my life or hasn't done in my life, if I were to be real honest with you tonight. And I hope there's some honest people in this house with me tonight. Like, come on, God, you could literally just walk across town right now or just speak the word and it'd be done. Into this, I'd be free from this stronghold that's in my life. Speak the word, save the walk. Feeling lonely, maybe feeling forgotten, John. And based on the words of Jesus, John is offended. Now, have you ever had anyone around you who are blessed in ways that you felt you should be blessed? And did it bother you? Did it seem unfair to you? Have you ever felt that you deserved something from someone and they just simply weren't giving it to you? Like support, encouragement, trust, opportunity, kids with parents, marriages in your marriage, friends, and your singleness with your other relationships, your boss, your employees. This happens all the time, right? The number one reason people live offended in slide 8 is unfulfilled expectations. And these expectations come to us in three glasses that I want to break down for you tonight. Three glasses of toxic poison. The first one that I poured, the first glass is unspoken expectations. We're talking about unfulfilled expectations. The first glass of offense is unspoken. Jesus didn't ever tell John that he would never be put in prison. Hey, if you preach about me and share about me, the good news, proclaim it, tell everybody about everybody you know about me, that you will never experience a day of trouble in your life. No troubles, no adversities. No, we have actually come to learn, or will if you're new to this, that Jesus never said that to John or to the followers who would come after John. But it is really easy, friends, to feel offended, to feel like someone could do something for us, to help us, and they don't. Those expectations are the glass that is put in front of me. And we look at it, and it seems to talk back to us a little bit. And maybe here is what your glass might say. You know, they could, if they would, and because they're a Christian, they probably should. They could write a check and help me out this week, right? They could refer my business to all their friends. They could, if they would. They could get behind my ministry even. They could let me sing. I mean, they ain't nobody can sing like me. We'd fill this place up, right? They could if they would, and really they should. I mean, if they would at least just loan me their car for a couple days, just a couple days, or let me stay at their house. I mean, they even have an extra bed and a hot tub. I just need a little bit of assistance here for the next few weeks. Like, come on, right? Like, they could at least call me. It's always me making the effort. Unspoken expectations is a big old glass of offense that is served up. And sometimes we'd be talking to it and it'd be talking to us. And we're having a good old conversation back and forth. I don't know if you've ever noticed in our culture, lots of people expect things from other people that they don't do themselves. Ever notice this? This expectation thing is a huge part of you and I feeling offended. And we live in this space a lot, don't we? Holding on to this huge glass of offense. They could, if they would, and really they should. You might call it a big old glass of entitlement. I'm just getting real, friends, and I'm talking to myself tonight too, so I hope you'll be okay with me for a few more moments. Like, I mean, that's what Christians are supposed to do, right? Unspoken expectations, friends, are like a marketing campaign going on in your brain. And yet the other never said they would. Or never promised that you could have that money and not pay it back. or borrow that car whenever you feel like it, or that they would buy you groceries anytime you needed it. They never said that. But yet, here is that big old glass talking back to you, and you are drinking back the glass and joining in on the conversation that the other person is not even having with you. Now you are upset, offended, and angry, and irritated because of these unspoken expectations. And it's, like I said earlier, it's not only with people that we do this with. I would say as often we do this with God, if we were to be truthful. And there's a lot of people who get offended with God in the same ways, in the similar ways. But God, it's just a house that I want. I can't afford to save up a down payment. Why can't you just give it to me? You are the God with 1,000 cattle on the hillside, you know? And we get offended because God's not stuffing my pockets with the things that I think I need, my unmet expectations. And as soon as we stumble into trouble in our lives, we're like John in prison and be saying things like, hey, Jesus, why are you forgetting about me? Why are you forgetting about me, Jesus? I can't believe, like, you're already forgetting about me? Don't you remember me? Don't you remember all the things that I've done for you? I mean, I was born and raised in church, grew up in a pew, and I served. Did so much. Gave, served, loved, evangelized, whatever it might be. Why are you forgetting about me? I did a whole lot of work, and I mean, I was so sold out, risked my life at work to share the good news of Jesus. And now I'd be sending a messenger to ask you, Jesus, if you are who you really say you are. See, that is what offense will do in our life, friends. It will get us so twisted up in our minds and our ways of thinking, so torqued. Turn your rationale upside down. It will cause you to be so unreasonable. This is what offense, the poison, the toxic, and toxins of offense will do in our lives. And when you get yourself into a place in life where you start drinking that poison, your soul starts to get corrupted with all kinds of toxins. You start saying things that maybe you wouldn't have said before. You start subscribing to schools of thought that you would have avoided before. You are doing things that you would have never dreamed of doing a year ago. Because my heart's getting all stuffed up with the toxins and pollutions that this offense is doing in my life because I'm consuming it. Drinking the poison and hoping the other person to die. We drink the poison and now we're walking in this offense. And that's why now Jesus, when he was in this position, he said that one line, John, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. But what I want to remind you of Jesus' followers, or for those of you who are new and maybe looking in to see what does it mean to follow Jesus, Jesus doesn't say and never did tell you that you would never experience trouble. A man born of woman is full of trouble, is what scripture says. I think we're all born of a woman. Never experienced trouble or pain or hardships, right? And difficult seasons in your life. But you don't have to drink the poison. Friends, don't be allowing yourself to get upset and angry and somehow start blaming God. Or start thinking, God, if you are who you really say you are, then how come you aren't swooping down with 1,000 angels in this moment and saving the day? Don't get yourself into a position like that, friends. Rather, take a step back. Don't drink the, make that choice to not drink the poison, and begin to understand that in all things, God works for the good. I'm not making that up. This is scripture, friends. In all things, God, even the things that are offensive to you, and the things that you've been staring at for a long time that wasn't right, what he or she did or said wasn't right at all. And you have the right to feel offended, but you can make the choice and God can make the change. He might not rescue you, but he still is who he says he is in your life. The second glass we get served up. I wonder if this takes the bubble gum. Looks like a bubble gum, eh? The second glass that we get served up in slide, whatever we intend, Jeremy, thank you. The second glass is unmet expectations. The first one was unspoken expectations. The second one is unmet expectations. This is the glass people serve you when they said or did something that was wrong or that you felt was wrong, that didn't quite live up to your expectations. You have the right. You have the right. You do. There are situations in your life where you have been wronged, friends. James 4:1 says this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it." Unmet expectations. You have the right to feel offended. You also have a choice to make. Every one of us has experienced an unmet expectation in this past week. I can almost guarantee it, in this room, every one of us has experienced an unmet expectation. Maybe you thought you were coming home to a home-cooked dinner in the oven, and you're opening the door to smell some turkey, and you're like, no one's home? That job promotion that you've been praying for, it was given to someone else. Remember last week, those tentative plans that you made to go out with a friend, they said that they would send you a text. Hey, yeah, let's make it happen. It's Sunday. You haven't received the text yet. It never happened. Mom and dad were supposed to be there to protect you from that happening to you, to prevent that occurrence, that abuse, that exploitation. Your spouse of 17 years just let you know that they haven't been faithful like they vowed to on your wedding day. I expected this to be better than it has been. I shouldn't have to be in this position at this time in this period of my life. I've been served up an old, big old glass of unmet expectations. And some days it actually feels like I have a whole refrigerator, a beer fridge full of these served up glasses of straight up offense. I have found in life often that when we are holding on to offenses that we've been served up, storing them away in our little mini fridge or on our desktop or nightstand, wherever you come back to and have thoughts, it almost looks like I went to Costco sometimes. And now every time I have the opportunity and my friends come over who also shop at Costco, who also have a beer fridge full of socials, we together begin social drinking the poison. Meh, 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 meh. Whining and complaining about all those people who have let us down this week, who are not living up to my expectations, right? And then she and then he even had the audacity to say that or to do that. I know she said the same thing to me, Stephen. We just be a drinking, social drinking here. And she said that to you. Yeah, she said that to me too. You've been served up a big old glass of unmet expectations, and sometimes we choose to social drink the poison in our lives, including others in our circles of misery, right? We all been there. It's okay. Don't look so spiritual out there, guys. It's not just me, is it? Because as we all know, you can't be miserable by yourself. That wouldn't be as fulfilling, would it? I gotta share it with somebody, complain to somebody. I'd be pouring some into my wife's glass too, just before bed, just in case you didn't have enough. (Laughs) man. By the way, some of you, friends, have missed out on the opportunity of healthy relationships because every time you get together with your friends, that's what you do. You drink your offenses together. You social drink your offenses together. And I'd just like to say that there are healthy people that God would love to put in your life tonight, but they can't come into your life right now. Because when they get around you, they'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't like this, you don't like that, you hate that, that person you can't stand, that's stupid, that's retarded, that's... God bless you, friend, but I'm out of here. I'm going to go have some lunch with somebody else today because that is toxic. Am I talking real thing? Am I getting up in your living room yet? I know God's been stirring my heart in these same things, friends. Some of you might even say, Pastor Chris, the reason I can't forgive him or her for that offense, for not meeting my expectations, for not living up to what they said they would do, for what they did to me, it's very real. I will never trust them again. I can't. They let me down so badly, I can't trust them again. And here's what I would say to us friends tonight. There is a difference between trust and forgiveness. Some of you might need to write this down tonight because I think some of us are walking in similarities and we don't know what the difference is between forgiveness and trust is. See, you can forgive people and not trust them. If someone has breached your trust, blew up your confidence in them, has stolen from you, has betrayed you, one who even claimed to be a friend to you who has not really been a friend. Friends, if someone is breaching your trust and trampling over your goodwill and continues to betray you, trust is not something that you unwisely continue to give, but as you forgive them, I'd encourage you to not trust them at the level that they breached your confidence in them. Until that trust can be fostered again, until that trust can be rebuilt again. Let me give you an example. If your kids go and borrow your credit card, and this isn't a real story, my kids haven't borrowed my credit card, for a small Amazon purchase, and before you know it, you got a bill and it's all racked up your credit card. You're going to have to work out some forgiveness and reconciliation. But that don't mean that you're going to need to give them your credit card again next week. No, I encourage you to not trust them at the level that they breached your confidence in them. As you take your steps to forgive them, or you can take that big old glass of offense that was served you and you can social drink that poison with all your friends. See, unmet expectations are going to come your way. It's unavoidable, friends. You are never going to have all your dreams and expectations fulfilled, honey. But you have a choice. How do I want to live my life? Drinking the poison? Filling my life with toxins of bitterness and anger and disgust and contempt, irritation and annoyance? Or we can forgive. And it's not only because Jesus teaches us to, but the bigger reason that he even teaches us to forgive is because we don't have to trust them. But what we are doing when we forgive them is keeping the poison from having a place in our soul. We're saying, you know what? It ain't worth it. I ain't going to lose sleep over this. I ain't going to make a big old display in my household in front of my kids or my wife or at my church or in my workplace. I'm not going to let this affect me. Because if it affects me, it's affecting my marriage. It's affecting my relationships. It's affecting the way I spend my money. It's affecting the way what I look at, what I ingest, and who I talk to and who I'm social drinking with, right? It affects my life, my parenting, and my ability to pursue excellence in everything I do. Why? Because I'm jaded with this offense. I'm irritated. I'm annoyed. So maybe I won't trust them, but I'm going to forgive them. To let it go. When everyone else around is sitting around social drinking with their favorite offense, like, I'm not joining in on the conversation, actually. No thanks. I don't want to live this way. Third glass. You ready for the third glass? You still with me, friends? Big old glass of offense. Make me thirsty, actually. Third glass is unrealistic expectations. So far, we've gotten unspoken expectations and unmet expectations, and now unrealistic. This is the glass that you have in front of you when you presume to know more than you could possibly know, and then you pass judgment on it. I'm going to say that again. This is the glass that you have in front of you. This, when you presume to know more than you could possibly know about the situation, and you still pass judgment on it. So here's an example. If you've never owned a business, then you don't know what it's like to own a business or run a business. And you know that business performance is not always great when you're going over to get your latte, or when you go to get your Tim Hortons. Customer service isn't always right. Yet if you've never owned a business, then quite possibly you don't know about all the things that goes on behind the scenes at that place of business, or that business owner faces. Marriages, raising kids, post-secondary education, career paths are just some of the arenas that we might find ourselves presuming to know more than you could possibly know without experiencing it yourself. And sometimes we'd be passing judgment and putting our unrealistic expectations on others. We've got a full glass of offense in front of us. I can't believe my plane is late again. Like, don't they know I'm a frequent flyer? And I've got big deal meetings in Calgary. And now I'm going to be late again. Kids these days, right? That is not how you should parent a child. The church, the government. Like, friends, the hatred and contempt and disgust that comes out of our mouths when we talk about certain leaders in our country, in our cities, in our workplaces. I deserve better than this. And I've got this big old glass in my hand. I've been talking to it for the past hour as I wait in line for my delayed flight. But then I realized, wait, I've never owned an airline. I've never run a business or a restaurant. Nor have I served in public office. I've never been a single parent. I don't have the slightest clue to what goes on in the day-to-day behind the scenes at whatever it is. I don't know the staffing challenges that they're facing, the financial challenges. I don't know what kind of craziness is going on behind the scenes for a decision like that to be made. I don't know. But I've sure got a big old glass of unrealistic expectations. I mean, I can feel it. But man, I've got to back up from that glass and create some space, create some margin here, and give some kind of grace here. Are you with me still? Are we learning something about offenses tonight? Look at somebody and say, don't do it. Don't drink the poison. Nudge your neighbor. Don't drink the poison, friends. What I'm not saying is that we shouldn't have expectations of others. What I am simply saying, friends, is don't drink the poison. You have a choice. Make the choice and let God do the change. I'm just saying that if your vocabulary and your conversations are obsessed with how wrong everyone else is doing it, then back up a minute. Because there are things that we really are not going to understand about the other person's life. Some of you know what it's like to be married to him. But you've never asked the question, what's it like to be married to me? You can use the same question in your friendships too. How do others experience me? So while I be expecting you to behave like I want you to behave, the truth is I don't know what it's like to be you, to live a day in your shoes. How you've been treated, or where you came from. I don't know what your grandparent or your parent might have told you about yourself, or your guardian even. The truth is I don't know what it's like to be you. And the best thing I can do when that glass is served up to me, to where I can be annoyed and I can be irritated, I can be upset with whatever it is or whomever it is to back up, to take a step back from the glass, to breathe a moment, to take some space and hold some space and time, and then say to yourself, you know what, Chris? There's just some stuff that I just don't know about this or them. It's okay to not have it all figured out, friends. It's okay to surrender this innate desire to be in control of our relationships, in control of our circumstances, in control of everything that we can control. Because why? It feels safer to be in control of everything. It's not the way God's designed it to be. Let it go. My hope today is that we can all begin to understand that we are human beings, each of us, with similarities and differences, and that each of us are in this human form today, together, with all sorts of challenges that we're each facing, that some of them are different. My prayer for us is today that we would take the high road in our spiritual formation, take the high road even in our emotional formation. Look for greater ways to be thankful for the people that God has planted in our lives. Look for ways to be thankful for the words of truth that are spoken into our lives by our friends and mentors and peers. To be thankful for the opportunity to grow and to change. Why? Not just so it's self-improvement month. No, it's so that I might reflect the very character and nature of the living God. And Jesus, more often than my own agenda, my own passions, and my own motivations. The reason I say my hope for us is that there is a difference between expectations and hope, friends. I truly believe that we, as Jesus followers, could experience an increase of hope and expect less. See, as we've been learning, expectations are based on past experience or a trajectory of moving forward to a desired outcome. Yet there's also an element of control in our expectations. For they're often cause and effect based. I expect that if I do good work, I expect a raise. If I don't get a raise, or if it's not as much as I expected, I get upset. That's expectation. But friends, here's my question for you tonight. What are your hopes? We be so busy expecting things from everyone else that you've forgotten to dream again. You're missing out on hope, friends. See, hope requires more faith than expectation does. Expectation is an element of control. Hope is the substance of things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is out of your control. It's something that you have to trust in God. You have to trust in something other than yourself. And hope requires more faith than expectation does. And hope requires us to admit that we are not really the one in control anyhow. If you've put your trust in Jesus, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. See, Scripture teaches us to hope more and expect less. Actually, the word expectation is used only 6 times in the English Standard Version translation of the Scripture of the Bible. And the word expect is 20 times. It's used 3 times in Proverbs. And all 3 speak negatively of the expectations of the wicked or wealth. And Jesus himself, he says this about expectations in Luke 6:35. He says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. See, the word hope is a different story, friends. It's used 164 times in the English Standard Version, with most of the occurrences in the book of Psalms, which is no surprise. However, the book with the second most occurrences of hope is in the book of Job. And that might be a little surprising for some if you know the story of Job. See, the book of Job tells the story of a man who was living a hashtag blessed life, who was generous and faithful and godly until one day he lost everything, literally everything that he loved and valued. And the book of Job is a recounting of his conversations with his unhelpful friends about his situation. And it concludes actually with God essentially saying, actually, I'm God and you're not. See, Job's friends could only imagine a cause and effect relationship between Job's past actions and his current problems. They were living with a worldview based on expectations. Even if they hadn't expected Job's situation, they figured that he must have asked for it. Yet Job stubbornly insisted upon hope. In one of the most remarkable verses in the book of Job, in Job 13 and 15, he says this, though he slay me, I will hope in God. He was miserable and he acknowledged his painful position that he was in, yet his hope was still in God. He was resolutely depending on God. This is faithing, friends. Job's friends had expectations, but Job had hope. See, hope comes from a place of a God-focused, of a Jesus-centered faith. Well, hear this, friends. Expectations come from a place of self-focused entitlement. There's a world of difference in these two concepts. Can we expect any good thing from life based on just our good behavior? I hate to break it to you, but no, we cannot. This world is in conflict over countless unmet expectations. All around us, we're surrounded by this. Is there any hope for us? Yes, by the grace of God, there is. The very person who hope is, hope has come, friends. And you and I can have a personal relationship with him, and his name is Jesus. Through the human expression of God in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we get to receive the gift of eternal life. Rather than sucking back the poison and toxins of offense in our life. Although we have done nothing to deserve it and have absolutely no reason to expect such an astonishing blessing of goodness and mercy and grace. The grace and mercy of God leave no room for our expectations. However, we can have a confident hope in everything that has been promised us in Christ, in life, in this life. Yes, we're going to have ups and downs, but God's promises will be realized. Let me leave you with another scripture before we close here. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And hope doesn't put us to shame, friends. Hope doesn't disappoint us like expectations and unfilled expectations will. Hope doesn't. Because God's love, why? He has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. We've been gifted the power to overcome living in offense, friends. We who were once dead in our sins have been raised to life in Christ Jesus as new creations. And now we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God dwelling in us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Rather than clutching on to my expectations and drinking up the poison of my life, I am empowered to live unoffended because I have so great a hope living in me. Friends, you're going to feel offended. You have the right to. You will feel it, but you don't have to live offended. You make the choice. God makes the change. Thank you, Jesus. Do you mind if we...